We'll call the meeting to order. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Mickey Marazzi. I've been around Portage County for a while. I haven't been in this chair for a while, but we're rekindling that, and it's glad to be here and share today's activities with you. We do have a quorum present. Curtis has made that determination. And first thing we need to do is determine if we have any audience participation.
We have not received that.
No? Okay. Very good. Next item on the agenda then is the minutes from the March 24th meeting.
I'll make a motion to Sheriff Whitman.
I'll second. Judge Barbie.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. Are there any additions, corrections, or deletions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Minutes are approved. Staff reports. Financial progress report is first, and Curtis is going to give that.
All right. Thank you very much. If you look at that attachment, which I am struggling to find as I thumb through my stuff. Okay, thank you. We've spent about 67% of the budget through April 30th, and we're in very good shape. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Anybody, anything on financial progress report?
I make a motion to share with
you. Second, Linda Clark.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the financial report. Any question or comment, anybody? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Technical progress report is next.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the biggest news that I think some of you, most of you should be aware of is in our last policy committee meeting, staff was directed to put together letters to both the federal delegation and the state delegation regarding federal gas tax and state gas tax holidays or suspensions, as it's been discussed at both the state level and the federal level. We obviously put those letters to oppose any gas tax holiday and both those divisions of government. We sent those out a few weeks ago after we'd received comments from some of you to augment that, make sure we were crystal clear in our message. And as of today, we still have not heard any responses from any of our delegations. Also, the federal grant notices of funding continue to arrive, including most recently was a Safe Streets for All. Is that what it is? Safe Streets for All. There is a NOFA out with applications due in September. We continue to monitor those and looking at the best ways that we can help our communities, especially when it comes to getting some of this federal national funding. Finally, with that, I think that's all I have. And we also do have, and Dave will mention this later, but we had an ITS, we had consultants come in to talk about intelligent transportation systems at our TAC meeting. They came to kind of present the AMETS intelligent infrastructure architecture, as it's called, because we have to use words that don't match with what we're doing. So we have that. We're looking for comments, and you'll have the ability to comment on that if you weren't at our meeting on last Thursday. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Anyone, any questions for Curtis? Okay, then we'll move into the AMATS federal funds report. Mr. Poulet has a presentation, I believe.
Well, I just have a few
comments.
Yeah, a few comments. We're really nearing the end of fiscal year 22 now. Even though it technically doesn't end till the end of June, ODOT basically kind of closes things down in June to do the year-end balances and such. And there's still a number of jobs that haven't sold. And we are aware, I just wanted to let you know that at AMATS, we are aware that here, especially recently in the last month or so, bids have really come in high. And there's been some cases where contractors have not even returned bids. So if you're in a situation where you need a little extra to make the project get off the ground, MS does have a policy. We've always had a policy where we will give you an additional 15% of the MS amount in your project. So if any of you are in that situation where you have high bids and you need a little extra to make the project go, let us know, and we'll see what we can do for you. And other than that, that's about all I have. If there's any questions, be glad to answer them.
Anybody, any questions? Thank you. Okay. Next item on the agenda then is old business.
None?
None. Is there anything from the floor under old business? Okay, then we'll move on to new business. The first item on the agenda under new business is the draft resiliency report. And Mr. Schwerski is going to make some comments about that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm here to present just a little bit of summary about the Attachment 5A, the Climate Resiliency Report. The purpose of this report is to assess our area's vulnerability, our infrastructure vulnerability to any effects from climate change or extreme weather patterns. This is something we haven't done yet, and so we looked around to different government agencies to see what they're doing, and we found an outline through the Federal Highway Administration that we ended up following their outline, and we first went out and looked at some data sets that we could analyze to see what are the trends in our region, what do we need to be aware of and plan for, and we have some increases in rain precipitation events. There's nothing to be, you know, too scared of. You know, we're not on a coastal area, so we're really planning for just any flooding in the area. So we put together a whole assessment of, you know, what places in the MS area have the most vulnerability to any increases in flooding or extreme weather. So we looked at infrastructure that's in floodplains, and by infrastructure we're saying roads, bridges, even bike trails. We looked at infrastructure that's in the floodplains and also infrastructure that is rated poor or lower, and we created a list that is sort of a matrix that creates the most vulnerable areas, and just sort of like analyze that. You can see that many maps in there, and I'd be happy to answer any questions, and we have GIS professionals that can answer that too. And we also looked at some local issues in the area. We contacted the Summit Portage County engineers and got some costs from them and what realistically looks to them. And we made some recommendations. And again, these are not prescriptive, although we want feedback from you, from the member communities, on what we should be looking at. Again, this is just a draft, so we want to come up with something next time in August that we can summarize all the recommendations and take your feedback and hopefully come up with something that sets us up to even change maybe some policies and allow our member communities more opportunity for any federal funding that comes in the future that's climate related or vulnerability related. So at this point, I'll take anything, and I will recognize Michelle. Eeyore has given us great feedback, and anything that we can learn from member communities is good. So we're open.
Does anyone have any questions? Okay, thank you. The next item on our agenda then is the 2021 annual report of roadway traffic congestion, and Mr. Amadzi is going to make a report, I think. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dave's got a sign on his computer.
Attachment 5B, in conjunction of congestion management courses would address congestion-related issues in the MS region. Attachment 5B is specific to roadways, and congestion management process that we might have heard about it in the past, it's a multimodal approach. So I'm going to tell you a brief introduction about what this our report is all about, and it's going to be an ongoing annual planning process for the MS, and we will talk about the objectives of the report, why we do it and how we do it, the methodology, where do we collect data, how we analyze them, and what we get from the analysis as a result, and how we can conclude this presentation. So annual, we call the attachment 5B 2021 annual report on roadway traffic congestion. So as I mentioned before, it is specific to roadways. So the report includes 7,100 segments in Summit County, Portage County, and Chippewa and Milton Township areas of Wayne County. So we call it defined road network. Defined road network within MATS region include interstates, expressways and freeways, arterials, both principal and minor arterials. It does also include interchanges, ramps and intersections on the arterial roads. So this is how the road network look like in the MATS region. So we only included major roads like functionally coded 7, 6, 5, and 4. It is also named as interstates, expressways, and freeways, major and minor arterials. So as a matter of importance, we did not include collectors and local schools. So MS seeks preservations in terms of road surfacing as well as in operation. So we have an annual PCI survey. So we assess the surface condition of roads structurally, so how our roads are in the MS region. So we operationally, we also want to, as an objective of this study, which is going to be annually, we also want to assess our road operations, especially major roads, through this study. So we want to keep the existing level of service as the first main objective of this study. The second objective is we want to control the demand and leverage its existing road transport network. And last but not the least, road traffic congestion monitoring. So we want to keep track of our roads, and we have to make sure that the road is functionally operating well, and it's in a tolerable intensity of congestion. So this report is done using StreetLight data platform. StreetLight is a virtual way of collecting data. They collect data in two different big location data sources, Federal Highway Administration and Code of Federal Regulations. They emphasize on new technologies. So they are pretty accurate. Their first type of data is called navigation GPS data. It's just a GPS installed, a GPS working through GPS going from one location to another location, so region and destinations, by personal vehicle and commercial vehicle. I can pull up my data for the last 5 years where I have been to many places when I use the GPS. So in case they use GPS data in conjunction with location-based data, so they are well aware of it is being processing. They have their reading algorithms. I'm not going into the details of their data. It's a huge another topic. but they collect data through different data sources. So the location-based data sources, it's large and simple size. They partner with many applications and with telecommunication companies. They collect data from cellular towers as well, in case if you don't have GPS device on with you when you are traveling. So they collect data through pings. So they put all pings together through their reading algorithms, and their reading algorithms generate trips. So that we have conducted several studies. Their data is pretty much accurate. Ohio Department of Transportation, ODOT, uses their platform as well. So there are many states that they use their data. So the accuracy is about 90%, which is really good from the planning perspective. So StreetLab data platform, they use free flow factor or free flow speed to determine congestion. Suppose that we are traveling 70% of free flow speed. Their free flow speed is not posted speed level. It's realistic speed. They take average of all speeds on hourly basis. For this analysis, we selected the post-lockdown year, like normal months, starting from March until August. I know it's not totally normal, but it's the post-lockdown, not up to the pre-pandemic level. But we, for 2021, we selected the normal months from March. We had a discussion on it, so finally we decided to go from March until August. So we collected all those data. We scanned all 7,100 segments for these 5 to 6 months, and they averaged the data hourly, and they picked the maximum average speed as a free flow speed. So they have their own calculation methodologies. They're pretty accurate about it. If you have any question about their free flow factor, the congestion, the way they calculate congestion, you can contact me, but I will not dig deeper into this topic because it's still more technical issues and will take time. So we divided the congestion into three categories. Low categories from 25 to 35, moderate categories from 35 to 45, and severe above 45. And what we got from MS region, from 7,100 segments equivalent to 1,010 miles, central line miles, we got that 93% of roads have no significant congestion. There are only 58 miles, central line miles, have low congestion. So when I say low congestion, I mean that congestion is somehow about 25 or equal to 25% and lower than 35. And there are 12.26 miles moderately congested, and only approximately almost 2 miles severe roads have severe congestion, regardless to the functional classification. So among those 7,100 segments, there are only 729 segments congested. And among those 729 segments, there are 577 segments have low congestion. And we have 6,377 segments that have no congestion at all. So they might have a slight congestion, but it is not within our categories that we have categorized. So moderate congestion, only 129 segments. So the total central line mile is in the next column. So we have 23 segments severely congested, equivalent to 2 miles. So congestion comparison by functional classification, you can see that we have only 10.58 miles of GDL roads moderately congested. The interstates, there are no segments that are severely congested on the interstates. So we have a big, small number of ramps that are severely congested, and we have only 1.54 miles, central line miles, that has Rams that has moderate congestion. So comparison of congested miles by jurisdiction and political units. So the ranking you see here, Akron is top ranked highest one, then Tioga Falls and Hudson. It's just directly proportional to the number of roads, population. So this is how the ranking of the jurisdiction and policy can look like neighborhoods in terms of congested miles. So these are just congested miles. It doesn't include interstates, arterials, but we noticed that it is important to know that most of the congested roads are arterials. We don't have a lot of congestion on freeways and interstates. So congested miles by county, Portage County, is 48.61 miles low congestion, Summit County, 10.60 miles moderately congested, and 1.41 miles. So we can see the statistics and figures classified by counties. This is how our congested road network looked like. So we only illustrated the moderate congestion and severe congestion. So another, we wanted to keep the existing level of service for the road network, for the defined road network, and that's why we come up with the results that the road network functions really well. So we want to set benchmarks. That's why the second performance measure that we want to include in this report is vehicle hours of delay. So this is also very crucial, and it has been requested, like it is mentioned in Federal Highway Administration and Court of Federal Regulation. Vehicle hours of delay is the additional travel time spent by vehicles traveling other than free flow speed. If I spend like 7 hours traveling by free flow speed, if I spend 10 hours traveling by other than free flow speed, we call that 3 additional hours, like vehicle hours of delay. So we have our own set of calculation matching code of federal regulations, but the delays that we got from the congested network, because we have already categorized the congestion in 3 different categories, we divided it in 3 different categories. So the delay that we get from the congested network, which are 729 segments, would definitely excessive delay. So excessive delay is the delay that we get in a very congested situation, circumstances. So when we see there are 1,434 vehicle hours of delay, excessive delay, and each segment on every basis. So we have congested network, we have defined network. Defined network is 7,100 segments, and congested network is 729 segments. So the excessive delay is only 1,434 hours. So each mile on average basis, each mile experiences 19.76 hours delay daily. So these are all daily miles. And the mileage, if we travel 658 miles, we are going to experience 1 hour excessive delay. This is how the congestion network figures look like. But total delay on average basis, we have 8,592 hours daily delay within the MS region, in the MS region. Keeping in mind that those are only for defined road network, like interstates and arterial roads. And the average network functions really well. We have only 8.51 hours of delay per mile, and it takes 2,176 miles to experience 1 hour delay. So we want to keep an eye on our congested road network on an annual basis, the way we keep an eye on our structure of road surfaces. So in conclusion, I would say the report demonstrates a comprehensive approach. So the validation and accuracy of the data is being conducted by our team. And this report will aid in developing our condition management report, condition management process required by Federal Highway Administration that MATS completes every 4 years. I mean, we come up with the conclusion that the road network in the MATS region functions really well in a tolerable intensity of congestion, and we want to keep that up. We will we will inform our decision maker about the investments. The results of this report will be incorporated in long range transportation plan document and transportation outlook. There are a few cross-reference link errors. Just I want to end the final report. We have got them fixed. It's just a formatting issue. It just happened by combining three files for printing issues. We have got them fixed. The final version of this report will be uploaded to our website upon its approval. So I would. That's all from me. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Question for you.
Yes.
Is this data available in a sortable format that we can search?
Well, we have, in appendix, we have all 729 segments that are congested. We have, like, we conducted this survey. So when we talk about the congestion, it's peak hour. We have the schedules in each segment, name of the segments, daytime when the segments is congested, average length of the segments is available on the appendices. We are working on to provide an interactive kind of map to see where are the congested map. But we do have the GIS files. We are working to upload that to our website too in the future. But Curtis would be there to answer
you. Joe, like if you had like a certain location that you wanted to look up,
I got nine townships. I'd like to sort the nine townships.
I see. Yeah. We would be able to either do that for you in a Excel sheet, or we could
I don't want to turn 240 pages looking for.
Right. Why not? No. Yeah, we can.
We
can absolutely do that in Esperanza too. We would like to get a map up. And then, two, the other thing I'd add is that this is from, correct me, Farhad, it's from April to October of 2021?
From March to August 2021.
Yeah. So really is sort of a yearly, the intent is to be a yearly snapshot. So, yeah, we can definitely pull up everything that meets that 25% threshold in a township in Summit County and send it to you.
Was any thought given to defining a minimum section length? I've seen section lengths of 38 feet.
Yeah, they're short.
Mm-hmm. I can't do anything in 38 feet to solve any congestion problem.
Right.
Yes, so that's a really good question. So we have selected the streetlight platform network. So they have the networks that best match their analysis and their reading algorithms. You're right. When the section is very small, we wanted to omit that section from our analysis, or we have to combine them with other sections so that we can get good results. So small sections would also not give you good results as far as reading algorithms are concerned, and large section would not give you the granular data that we need in terms of length. So yeah, we there were like 100,000s of figures, we filtered them out, and we got the final result. So the final result that we got, we had a lot of meetings with the streetlight team. So they are very happy. Their reading algorithm, they're very happy the way their reading algorithm works. So we deleted some of errors. But still, as I said, there would be some slight minor errors due to technological errors, but the accuracy is about 90%. So whatever you see on 729 segments that we have listed in the appendix, those are pretty much accurate.
I'm just saying that I got one on page 16, I think 16, where the city of Hudson has four small sections.
Right. And
bing, 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 bing.
Right. And where the lights are.
I got no problem with
right,
that.
Yeah.
It's not a good picture.
And that's where I feel like for us, one of the decisions we made when we discussed this internally, because we saw that, you know, like, does this make sense? And I think we went back to the fact that, like, this is the data, this is how StreetLight provides it. It lets us know something's going on there, and we can continue to dig deeper, or I believe we can even make our own segment, you know, if we want to get to a better interpretation. But this is sort of like, in my mind, what we're trying to build is something that's like the scan. Mm-hmm. You know, so we now know, and we know in northern, on 91, you know, that piece north of 303, it's pretty clear there's congestion there. And so if we want to dig deeper, you know, that's something that we can build our own segments and do that if that was requested.
The reason I was asking, if we could sort it, so I can
take
and put all that one group in one area.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that we can do as well.
Yes.
Thank you.
Is this our MPO area compared to other MPO areas such as Cleveland or Columbus or things like that?
So we haven't taken a look at that, their data, but all the major MPOs and transportation management area, they do have the major one. I would say like New York MPO. I don't know about NOAACA if they have it, but NOAACA, like New York MPO, they do have annual congestion report. Yeah, they have it very similar to us, but we use different technologies and they use different technologies. Coming back to the previous questions, so yeah, we as Curtis said, we can draw the line on the StreetLight platform road network. We can upload the shapefile. We can create segments of our own interest, but they suggest that we go with their network because they try to avoid when the road crosses each other, so they want to it exactly avoid that confusion that which road is which. So we can do that. So the it's larger segments also do not work and small segments also do not work. So we have a methodology. If we see there is a congestion for a very small segment, then we take a look at the average daily traffic of that segment. Then we take a look at the vehicle hours of delay. If all the figures matches each other and say, yeah, there is some sort of congestion, so we consider that segment.
And Jim, I don't know if you were saying, like, if we've looked at the amount of congestion some of the other regions have, from our region, as far as I know, like, I don't believe, like, SCATS has done a report like this in Stark County, or Eastgate has done one like this, and NOAACA, if they have, we can't find it on their website. So from, like, those numbers, and I will also say, like, one of the restrictions on this is not necessarily data that we bought. We helped pay for it, but this is ODOT, an ODOT vendor contract. You know, they've hired these people as their, you know, to explore this as, and we're trying to take advantage of that data. So there are some things that we would like, you know, if it was up to us, we'd say, hey, could you do this differently or could you do that differently? But, you know, we're working with the entire state in kind of these data sets for how they build stuff. So it's an incredibly powerful tool, and I think one of the reasons we wanted to do this was to get off the ground of, like, okay, now we have a baseline that we can look, we can start to see, like Mickey was pointing out in his project at Mogador and I-76. Next year at this time, well, it might still be the same as it is today, but you know, like, but in 2 years, we would expect to see that not be on the map anymore. And I think that's really the level of detail we were going for on this. But I would venture to guess that we have less congestion than Cleveland. I would venture to guess that we might have a little more than Canton. And I would venture to guess, you know, that there's a lot of Rust Belt cities our size that look a lot like ours, too, you know.
So with that, there aren't any questions. The staff requests motion for approval.
Paradise, move to approve.
Second, McCleary.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Does anybody have any other questions or comments?
I'd just like to compliment the staff. Both reports, the climate report and this report, were really well done. Really well done.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, then. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the report is approved. Thank you. Next item on our agenda then is resolution 2022-07, and that's about reaffirming the approval for regional transportation plan and TIP consistency and all that other
stuff. So how far do you want to
go? Mr. Gardner, I'm done. Please.
There are two resolutions packaged into attachment 6A there. We pass these every year. They go together.
Yeah.
First one affirms AMAT's annual approval of the Regional Transportation Plan, Transportation Outlook 2045. We have to do this every year. The same resolution also reaffirms the existing TIP, which we usually do every 3 years, and affirms the consistency of both of these documents with the State Implementation Plan for Air Quality Conformity. The TIP and the 2045 plan have both been analyzed for air quality conformity in coordination with ODOT, and they have been found to be in accord with federal regulations. The staff and the TAC are both recommending approval of Resolution 2022-07. Are there any questions?
Okay, hearing none, we actually have two separate resolutions that we need to entertain. The first one is 2207. I'll entertain a motion to approve that.
Motion to approve, Linda Clark Manley.
Is there a second?
Paradise, second.
Okay, is there any question or other comment about that by anybody? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion or resolution is approved.
The second half of that is 2022-08. Annually, the AMATS Policy Committee is required to self-certify that it's conducting the planning process according to federal regulations. This resolution certifies that the AMATS transportation and planning process is being implemented in compliance with all applicable federal requirements. AMATS activities are carried out under the continuing supervision of ODOT. And the staff and TAC are both recommending approval of Resolution 2022-08.
I'll make a motion to approve it for Cheryl Rittman.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to approve Resolution 2208. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution is approved. Okay, the next item on the agenda then is Resolution 2209, which is the Transportation Plan Work Program and Budget. And Curtis is going to make that presentation.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. So everyone saw this in January as it was approved as a draft. It's our annual work program and budget for fiscal year 2023, which begins in July. Some of our major work components that we'll be working on is updating our TIP to a 2024 to 2027 Transportation Improvement Program, continuing hoping this summer to have our first real robust traffic counting season again, as well as implementing all of what we've talked about with the bipartisan infrastructure law. Also attached to this is the due structure that was approved in draft form at the January meeting, and as a reminder, we did receive through the BIL more consolidated planning grant funds that would need to be matched. And with that, staff recommends approval of attachment 6B.
I'll entertain a motion to approve Resolution 2209.
I'll make the motion, Judge Barber.
Is there a second?
Linda Clark Manley.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Does anybody have any further question on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution is approved. And the last item on our agenda is Resolution 22-10, which is an amendment to the TIP. To add a project, and Mr. Poulet is going to inform us on that.
Okay, I have a little diagram to accompany this resolution. Resolution 2022-10 is approving Amendment 17, which is adding a new sidewalk program. Or a new sidewalk project to the 21-24 TIP. Now, this is not new per se. This is this was approved during our last round of funding, and it was just kind of sitting out in 26 in a queue of new projects that we're waiting to move in. This is the Montrose area. PID 103028 was the first of three sidewalk programs recommended by the Connecting Communities program we have. It's already done. That's the one along Route 18. PID 112788 is one that is currently in the TIP and is ready to be designed. And the one that we want to add is PID 116457. This is we're adding this. We're pulling up just the design only for $100,000 so that we can design the one along Cleveland Maslin and the one along Springside, so we can do the design work at the same time. So the this is only adding the $100,000 for the design of PID 116457. Any questions? I'd be glad to answer them.
Anyone, anything? Okay, then we'll entertain a motion to approve Resolution 22-10.
Cameron.
Is there a second?
Paradise, second.
Is there any final question or comment from anybody? Oh, go ahead.
Do you mean about this resolution or about the meeting in general?
No, we still have to approve this one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He's jumping the gun.
Okay. Then I'll call the vote on 22-10. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We've approved 22-10. And that brings us to other business.
I just have a couple things that my coworker Amy Prater wanted me to pass along. First of all, our FFC, our federal functional classification update. If you have any changes or updates you want to make in your community, those are due in our office by next Friday, May 27th. So either get those into Amy or to myself, and we'll start incorporating those in with the rest of them. And the other announcement I have is the ITS architecture that we're working on. The presentation was last week after the TAC meeting. If you have any comments on ITS architecture, those are also due. Amy's working on that pretty exclusively, but I am a little bit. If you have any comments, you can give those to either of us by the end of the month, May 31st.
Thank you. Anything from your desk?
No.
Anything from the floor under other business? Okay, then we'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Our next meeting is on Thursday, August 11th, right here.
Move to adjourn.
Second. Thank you. We're adjourned.